Hey, listeners, are you getting inspired to dive deeper into your learning of EFFT? If so, head on over to Catherine's website to check out her list of upcoming trainings. Some trainings are focused on combining EFFT with young kids and EFFT play therapy. So head on over to her website and we hope to see you in the future. Check it out at katherinedebruin.com, katherinedebruin.com, and we hope to see you in the future.
Welcome to the Family Express podcast, where our destination is resilient and connected families. Come aboard with your hosts, marriage and family therapists, Katherine DeBruin and Rhonda Evans, to explore the world of emotionally focused family therapy, a model developed by Sue Johnson and colleagues. Together with our guest speakers, our travels will map the EFFT landscape, highlighting lessons learned, shared fears, and the passion and curiosity that bonds our community.
Welcome back, listeners, to the next episode of the Family Express podcast with Katherine and Rhonda. Our guest today is the amazing Rachel Thomas. And Rachel, we'll give you a chance to say a few things about yourself since you know your history better than I do. But what we're going to talk about today is EFFT with adult children. So this is adult children bringing in their parents wanting family therapy sessions. So we'll talk about that with you. I'm excited to learn from you. I'm sure I will. Why don't you, we get started with, tell us a little bit about what you're doing in your work and how did you get into working with families?
I'm so excited to be here. So thank you for having me, number one. So I am in Arizona. My practice is Therapy with Heart, and we have 15 therapists that all work from the EFT model, couples, family, and individual work. And I fell in love with EFT, drank the Kool-Aid, as many of us have, and absolutely love the family component, which adds another, as much as I love working with couples, the family gives us an opportunity to maybe prevent attachment wounds or strategies to continue down. It's an opportunity to heal conversations that maybe never happened. So I just love EFFT a lot. And I'm an EFT certified therapist and supervisor, and I'm a new trainer in the process for Arizona. So, I'm just excited. I originally started with teenagers and did EFFT, but I would say in the last, 4 or 5 years, I have primarily worked with adults. So you mentioned the adult child brings their parents in. I would say it's 50-50. Sometimes the adult parent really, really invites their adult child to come in. It really depends. But I started with these intensives. So I had a couple family intensives where one was the son who asked his father to come in for just a full day of therapy and then potentially day two. And then another one was the mom. Her daughter came out the year before as gay, and the mom felt like they have been very distant since that happened, but didn't understand why. And so she, I would go as far as to say begged her 23-year-old daughter to come to an intensive. And I continue to see them as well. So I would say it's like 50-50, but that's how I originally started doing family with adults. And I really, really appreciate and love it a lot. So I'm happy to talk about that today.
Oh, I just love where we're starting off. Just, you know, maybe my own misconception that it's primarily the adult kids bringing in their parents. So thanks already for helping me out there. I appreciate that. Okay, so I'm just kind of thinking about, just as you're saying right here, your work began in some intensives and the parent was bringing in their adult child in those particular examples. So I think I'm wondering, like, yeah, how are these families coming in? Like, what are, you gave us a couple examples of how these two came in. Are you seeing any other trends about how the families are coming in? Is there themes or themes that are you're seeing across families about what's bringing them into your practice?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that young adults, these adults, and maybe I'm saying they're all young adults, but these adult children are a lot more likely to be going to therapy. They're a lot more likely to be emotionally savvy in ways that maybe their parents weren't or aren't. And so they are upping the bar a bit on the level of connection and the opportunity to have healing and have a repair if needed. But there's also an increased trend of adult children having their own children and the unhealthy dynamics reaching a point where these adults are deciding to pull back or cut off ties from their parents. And unfortunately, I have a few parents who are really, really struggling with the pain of being cut off from their adult children. And then, of course, the grandkids and helping them navigate how do they show up and be open to hearing their adult child's experience of them and do the repair and be able to be ARE now, accessible, responsive, and engaged now, in a way that shows these adult children that they can make the shifts that need to happen. But for example, today, the grandpa, I would call him, the father of an adult son, we did a lot of acceptance and grief, because the holidays are here and he was not able to see his grandkids or be with them. And there's a lot of pain around that. So as he continues to make overtures to reconnect with his son and his son's wife, in the meantime, he's missing these little's lives. It's really, really sad.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you're saying we're off to the races. I can already feel it. We're getting
I know, I'm sorry. I talk a lot. I'm very excited.
We're good. I'm good, Rachel. I can work with all of this. So you're saying there's a couple trends. There's kind of emotionally savvy adult children whose parents were they who experienced their parents as like a less emotionally savvy than themselves. So you're kind of starting off at two different emotional places and generationally. So I heard you talk about that. And then you talked about there's another trend is adult children doing cutoff with their parents. And so, and then cutting off their parents, if there's kids involved, the grandkids, now it's impacting multiple generations in this family context. And there's pain for the quote, now the grandparents, pain for the grandparents, grief and loss for them. I imagine the littles are also experiencing something. I don't want to make assumptions about what that could be, but they're part of the picture too, and their hearts are involved. And so I think you're talking about, in your case, are you talking about working with, I'll now reference them as the grandparents. Are you talking about working with the grandparents as an individual therapy, or you're talking about working with the adult child in individual therapy? And when you say helping them navigate, which part of the family are you working with and in what context?
Yeah, I have quite a few of the grandparents. So it's not just one. I have quite a few of the grandparents, and I have some family units where I'm able to do family therapy, where we are working. I will work with the parents, with the adult children, to try to navigate what's happening and how it reached this point where they're setting some pretty severe boundaries. And so I may need to meet with the couple, the children who are now adults. And then I also will need to meet with the grandparents or the parents and see how open and receptive they are to really doing the repair and showing up differently. And then, you know, from there, we create different dialogues and opportunities, hopefully, so that they can move through it. But I have other grandparents where the kids have cut off and there's a different process where I'm working with the parents on how to continue to show up, because for one grandparent couple, they're very angry and they feel that this is the most hurtful, you know, understandable. This is the most hurtful and egregious thing their children could do to them when they've done so much to sacrifice as parents to take care of and raise these kids. And so that anger and that hurt ends up coming out in ways that just continues to push the adult children away, which actually ends up continuing to hurt them. So it's really helping them be able to sit in some of that pain and anger and frustration, but also really be intentional about how to show up for their adult children to continue to navigate it. If they want that, they have that choice too, I guess, that they could decide not to. But everyone I have met with has just wanted it, but they feel a certain level of, what's the word that I'm thinking of? They feel they deserve a level of respect or a level of repair. So it's challenging. It's very complicated.
Yeah, I'm just kind of sitting with you in the complexity and the intense emotions that must be, especially when you're talking about cut off. And I think, you know, the only thing I might have to compare to is like a burnt out pursuer, pursuer who's just kind of like done trying and done giving themselves, and they just kind of come to a different emotional place that can take them to a place of, in essence, having a new boundary for themselves. And I think I'm just kind of sitting with you in the complexity of that. And if, I guess that's kind of curious to me then, like if the adult child is doing cutoff, they're somehow kind of still trying to get the family into therapy still though. So I can kind of feel myself be a bit confused about if there's cutoff happening, who's kind of pursuing the therapy? Is there a trend that you see with that?
It is, you know, as you're saying, I'm just sitting with all of it. I'm thinking, even as I'm talking about it, how complicated it is to even be able to talk through all the dynamics. Mm-hmm. Who I'm seeing the most in my office right now is the parents. That's who I'm, when we're talking about the cutoff. So there is an increase, there is a rise. There was an article in the New York Times recently about it. There's just been an increase of these adult children who are, I absolutely agree with you, getting to the point where they've tried to tell their parents, hey, I really need this from you. Or, hey, you know, when you do this, it doesn't, you know, make me feel whatever, right? So they've tried, and then they just reach a point where it's like, it's no longer healthy for me. This is my imagined, dialogue for them, is I can't continue to put myself and my children in these situations. So then they cut off, and now I'm seeing the parents and they're navigating that. So that's typically what I'm seeing in my office. But the flip side is so exciting, which is the adult children and the adult parent coming in, or parents coming in and having these opportunities to talk about potentially how these young adults or adults experienced emotion, or how they experienced maybe some attachment injuries or wounds in their own childhood, and then helping these parents be able to show up and repair and reconnect. I mean, that mom and her daughter, it was beautiful. This 23-year-old young woman was able to say, I know you love me, but when I came out and you made comments like, if that's the lifestyle you choose, and you made comments like, hopefully you'll make a different choice as you decide to get married. When you made those comments, I realized that you didn't really love me and accept me as I am. And so through our work, we have been able to help mom realize some of her languaging, because her heart so badly wants to accept and love and embrace her daughter, but it is a little bit challenging for her with her own backdrop of, you know, religious beliefs and messages. And so she didn't even realize some of the things she was saying, how that landed on her daughter. And so she has absolutely showed up in this really humble, open, like, that's not at all how I mean it, you know, way. And the daughter is slowly, you know, rebuilding that connection with her mom, and really navigating kind of what this means for the whole family, because there's extended family dynamics. And it's absolutely, like, if they hadn't come in, I can project that this young woman would just move about her life and separate from her family of origin. But because of these conversations, I really feel that we're creating a bridge to help them stay connected. It's really cool.
Wow.
It's
wow.
Not all sad and hopeless and grief.
No, definitely not all sad and hopeless. Definitely not. And I can, your example was taking me to where I was going to go, which was, where are you seeing parents getting stuck or having blocks? And so in this latest example, I think you kind of referenced upbringing, religious beliefs and messages was kind of blocking mom in a language sense, while mom's accessibility and responsiveness, like she wants to be accessible and responsive to her adult daughter, but it sounds like you found some languaging that was indicative of like a block or a stuck place for mom. What are some other parental blocks that you're seeing working with adult children and their families?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In this case that I'm talking about, it actually was beautiful to just help the daughter be able to articulate it herself and really do these enactments with mom of, when you say this, this is how I hear it. And because mom was so open, I very much just facilitated the tango and the beauty of EFT. It was EFFT. It wasn't as blocked as much as it was helping them have a new conversation. I do have a lot of parents that have expectations of their kids that now that they're adults, that they should show up a certain way for them potentially. Or, you know, in EFT, we talk about how the parent is always the parent, no matter the age, that our parents have to be the stronger, wiser others. And that's not always how parents are showing up, I'm noticing, as their children are now adults. So they have their expectations and they have their, I want to say demands, but that feels like a very strong word. But some of those can very much block us in the process. And they may have their own blocks around accessing some of this, the shame that can show up. I mean, I can just personally relate. My daughter's 19. And even just this last weekend, she was sharing an experience around the holidays that wasn't how I remembered it. And there's this immediate defensive part of me that showed up of like, that is not true. That is not what happened. And so I, you know, was able to kind of recognize like the part of me that wanted to like start defending and arguing myself a little bit, because the way she was sharing wasn't the way I remembered it, number one, and also wasn't very positive about me. So I do recognize that as a parent, you know, it's so easy to feel like we are doing the very best we can and we've made sacrifices to be the best parents when they were growing up. And now fast forward, they have a different narrative. It's hard to hear. It's very, very hard to hear, especially when it doesn't fit with the narrative that you have as the adult. So, or as the parent.
Listeners, check out our book for children of any age. It's called A Jumble of Thoughts and a Tangle of Feelings. It's on Amazon.com. If you know a child out there who is having a tough time, but unable to put that distress into words, this book is your guide to helping them figure out what is going on. Whether you're an educator, a therapist, or a parent, we really think this will be a helpful guide for you.
Yeah, this is getting into a place where I think I still have, learning and growth to do, and recognizing, I even think I struggle with sometimes, you know, recognizing defensiveness and that there could be, the shame kind of doing the talking and the protecting of the parent. And it can take me a minute to kind of even connect like, oh, this might be the shame showing up. And sometimes I can get caught in the content and, you know, which I've learned myself out of with couples, but with families, I can still find myself getting caught in the content there. So I think just for our listeners, like if you're watching parents have defensive reactions or getting upset, getting angry, getting curious about that reaction, because there might be some parental shame underneath that. That's in essence acting as a block.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to hear how your kid experienced you and situations that maybe you have a completely different backdrop narrative of, but also you know contextually what you were going through during that time. And again, kind of different. Yeah, it's very hard. So that's a block that I will experience. And I just really want to validate the parent that it's hard to hear. And we need to be able to hear how your kiddo experienced you and how brave they're being right now to let you know that that's how they experienced it. And it, just like our couples, it's not about finding the truth as much as it is to really create the space to be able to hear and be responsive. And that's not always easy to do at all.
No, it's not. I think that's kind of, I think I have some experiences where the supervisees are like, it seems like it's already happening, right? They're like, I think the shame's already showing up. It's like early sessions and they're kind of a little bit surprised by that. And, you know, what's going on here? And just trying to make sense of, hey, it's really hard for parents to hear this. It's, you know, they know their context, they know their heart, they know that they were trying their best and they had really good intentions. And then to still hear that something didn't land well or good for their kiddo and their adult kid is now able to voice that. It's just kind of, the way my heart kind of experiences it, it's just such a clash of like present and past.
It's like, yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of stuff from the past that feels cluttered or doesn't feel good, cobwebby. And the adult kid who's emotionally savvy, say, like, really wants to get things cleared out, really wants to clear the relationship. And the parent can kind of be blindsided by that a bit, you know, kind of wanting to have these types of conversations. What was it like for me as a kid? Or what is it like for me now as an adult kid? And can that parent really lean in and hear that?
Yeah.
It's hard.
I know, and I guess
some parents or some generation of parents don't have a model for that conversation.
Exactly. And like one of the things I was going to say is that adult children and adult parents, I really want to highlight the fact that they're taking time to come into family therapy, that they're both as invested in having a different adult to adult relationship that it hasn't been working. And now here they are. I just want to praise the fact that they're in my office doing this work because of the backdrop of these other parent-children relationships that are moving into cutoffs. If they're in our office, then we have an opportunity to have it be different. And so I just want them to hear how much I respect that. And I know that means that they're creating time and they're investing energy and emotions around some things that could be really hard to do, money, you know, and that it's worth it to both of them to be showing up in our office is pretty huge. And then we have the cultural piece. Like I have this father-son and they're just so very different. This son is a yogi, teacher, and very emotional and kind of meditates and is this just beautiful kind of flowing man. And then his father is a traditional Hispanic. So for him, never having done a day of therapy, and his son asked the dad to come to therapy. And as we were doing the work, the son was saying how one of the reasons he wanted his dad to come in is because he knows his dad has so much trauma and never, ever has done any work around it. And there were some things that happened in his childhood that he said, my dad has apologized, but I don't know if he really, really gets kind of on a deeper emotional level. So there were lots of layers of my work, but I was so impressed the minute this man sits down in my office and he's like, I've never done this therapy thing. And within like 5 minutes, he's crying as he's just telling me about how proud he is of his son and how grateful he is to be coming in and how he's never done this, but he knows there's a lot there. And it was just such a beautiful, I know. And he kept saying, I don't know how to do this. And I was like, you're doing such an amazing job. And
yeah, what he already is doing it, right? There's a willingness, there's an openness, there's a listening with his heart that he really had in session right away with you, really opened his heart. That's amazing. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. The power that the family therapy has, you know, the power it has, not just for that dyad, but for other dyads generationally down the line. It really is like a pebble in the water. You know, it really just can ripple through the generations. I think it's such a privilege and an honor, you know?
Yeah. And I keep bringing up dyad. You're right. When you said dyad, I was just thinking, I keep bringing up dyads, but I have absolutely done the parents and the adult child and their spouse. So the four people, for sure. I've done quite a few of those as well, where the four of us need to have conversations. But I do end up even then kind of creating some dyadic work within that, but I've done all four because it's important. There's a lot happening.
All right. So as we're talking about what an honor and a privilege it is to do this work with dyads or with four in the room, with adult children, where would you say therapists get stuck? Where would you, if you could give some words of wisdom, or if you could let us know where therapists get stuck, where might you see that?
I'm thinking about the parents who have the kids who have cut them off. I think it's important not to fall into the trap of blaming and judging the adult kiddo. I love the idea of them being burned out, that we want to assume positive intentions, that there are reasons, and continue to try to help the parents see that as well, so that it doesn't just reinforce the cutoff. Or reinforce that the kid is this bad kid, that there's, even as an adult, that there's probably a reason, and we want to maybe explore what do we think might be happening that might have caused this. And that's the part that we can help the parent continue to show up and try to repair while they're grieving and accepting kind of what is. So that would be one. I think there are other blocks that I'm not thinking of right now, but I know itself of the therapist blocks when I'm doing supervision. Parents have, if we are parents, then we might have our biases, and also us as children and navigating our parents as adults can get activated as we're sitting with adults on both levels. So I just think it's important to be aware of your own dynamics, because I've had I've had dynamics show up that are very similar to dynamics in my own family and with my parents or whatnot, and kind of how to make sure I'm taking care of what's happening and not getting reactive in my own self in a way that's going to kind of get in the way.
Yeah. Okay. So you're saying the first one is you're saying therapists could get stuck with feeling in the example of an adult child doing cutoff of the parent, a therapist could get stuck in viewing that adult child in a judging way, blaming way, in a negative light. And you're saying we as the therapist, we need to stay curious and explore that adult child's reason, maybe look at what's transpired with the relationship with the parent. And so you're saying, you know, the antidote to potentially seeing that adult child doing cutoff in a negative light, the antidote is staying curious, being willing to lean in to explore. And that would make, I mean, that just shows the parent that model of leaning in and being curious as well, right? Is that something that you, if you're exploring the adult child's reason for cutoff, is that something that you do with the parent in the room, or would you do that in an individual session as like a first pass? I'm just curious.
If I have the adult child in the room?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I diagnostically want to see how the interaction is. So I want to see if the adult child feels like they can share it, and how the parents maybe protective strategies show up, or kind of what happens when the adult child says, why we're here, what's happening that's led to this. And just more diagnostic assessment wise. And then of course I'll do a deeper dive when they come in alone.
You will do a deeper dive with the adult child by themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I would. Because I really want to understand the wounded parts and their experiences. And my guess is that the parents can't be responsive yet, or they wouldn't probably be in my office.
Right. Okay. And the other the other place you're saying that a therapist could get stuck is a self of the therapist, where the family that they're working with maybe has dynamics similar to their own, which it's really interesting to think about. And I'm sure every smarter people have thought of this already, but just as like a supervisee, as a clinician who's doing EFFT, when dynamics are similar, it does put that clinician in that double role. It, you know, if we are parents and then as a child, we actually get the pattern is on both levels. You know, it can be like depending on how you are as a parent and what's happened in your life as a parent thus far, and then what's happened to you as a child. I just think that's really kind of my mind is just kind of like multi-dimensional when it's you're talking about self, the therapist stuff, and in regards to family dynamics being so similar.
Which is what, is exactly why I think we need to be aware of it, because it's definitely an area that can get activated when you're especially around adult children, in my experience.
Yeah. All right. Well, Rachel, I'm looking at the time. Do you have any final words of wisdom for our listeners, or something that you learned about working with adult children or families that has just really resonated with you or made a big impact, stuck with you, really helped out? For all of our listeners who are kind of starting to do their work, maybe getting inspired to do some family work, and maybe the referrals that they're getting right now are adult children, what has helped you as you've kind of gone into this family therapy pool of working with adult kids?
I mean, one of my biggest things that I've learned is helping the parents engage the adult child in therapy. So like I said, I was getting quite a few of these parents who were experiencing their adult children as getting upset with them and setting these severe boundaries. And so helping the parents dialogue and role play how to engage this young adult in the family therapy has been so helpful, because I think my experience is these young adults, when they hear that their parents are going to therapy to figure all of this out, it does typically, I've had a lot of success where the young adult's like, yeah, I'll come to therapy and share with you, because it creates a safe space where they're not going to just keep having the same dynamic and same cycle show up when you have a third person and a therapist. So I would say my biggest thing is not to just take the parents without at least trying to engage the young adult when there's some major conflict or something's happened where there's a cutoff or a boundary, and, you know, try and engage that young adult.
That's so reassuring to hear you say that, because that's what I would want to do. You know, I would want to at least try.
I would want to try.
I just think about the power of it all is for that parent to be able to go to their adult child and say, hey, you know, I don't know if you know, but I've been seeing a therapist. What's happening between us? It's been hard for me. And basically reaching out to the child, right? And saying like, I'm willing to try. If you're willing to come and walk in the room, would you be willing to walk into the room and try? And that's what I would, it's reassuring to hear you say that, because I would want to try, and it makes me feel like I'm doing something right.
Oh, good. I mean, sometimes it's in a letter format so that it doesn't put them on the spot. They have a chance to read it. We can write the letter in a way that just invites them, like you're saying. And when they're ready to do it, the parent is saying, I want to do this with you. I want to hear, I want to understand, and I want to make it better. So when you're ready, I would love the opportunity. And sometimes a letter is the best non-threatening way to do that. So anyway.
Oh, that's just a nugget that we can all walk away with. Thanks to you, Rachel. Just the idea, I do tend to find myself leaning my own heart and brain leaning on verbal communication. It's such a good reminder that letter for this particular scenario is a really fine way to reach and to offer that invitation and that openness. That's a good reminder for us, perhaps. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for your time and for talking to us about working with adult children and their parents and those dynamics. We'd love to have you come back and talk about other stuff. What would you want to talk about? That's an open invitation to have you come back and talk about anything.
Love it.
All right. Awesome.
That's it for today, folks. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again for our next journey.